Welcome to ShollyCast, the podcast all about Lolly and Shota, including Not Safe for Work. ShollyCast is hosted by me, Hydro, and Dr. X. We're the developers of Insexual Awakening, a straight Shota visual novel game with incest, lollies, MILFs, onesons, and even a femboy character if you play Insexual Awakening 2, our sequel. If you'd like to play our games, you can download them at our official Barag at barag.net/cyberhex. And if you'd like to support Insexual Awakening's continued development and this podcast, you can join our Subscribestar at subscribestar.adult/cyberhex. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to ShollyCast, everyone. Once again, your host you're joined by is me, Hydro, and my co-host, Dr. X. And for this episode, we are joined by Calamity 33, otherwise known as Calamity. Welcome, Calamity.
Yo.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. So tell us a little bit about what you primarily do. You mostly do artwork?
Yeah, I mostly do, lolly. I used to mainly do Kyojiri lolly, like basically lollies with ridiculously sized asses. And then eventually I drew a picture of Poppy from Pokemon, which I'm sure anybody who knows me is very familiar with. And I drew some dialogue. And then from that point, I kind of blew up. And then I kind of started focusing more on like age play, dialogue, degen stuff, pretty much. Usually Pokemon. Lately most of my stuff's been commissioned, so it's been kind of like here and there, but that's pretty much what I mainly focus on.
When you started doing art, lolly art, so did it start with the lollies with bigger asses?
Yeah, kind of. To be honest, it was mainly because like I found it really easy to draw. Like, I came in as a beginner. I still kind of consider myself to be a bit like of a beginner, in the sense of like, you know, there's still a lot of stuff I can't really do, but I find drawing, like, you know, when half of the frame is taken up by like essentially two giant circles, it makes it a bit easier, because you can kind of just like BS it and be like, you know what, I'm just gonna draw the top of a torso, I'm gonna draw a head, I'm gonna draw like a face, and then I'm just gonna draw two giant circles, and you know what, it gets the job done.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean clearly it's interesting how you said that once you tried something a little different, you kind of branched out of your comfort zone a bit and was just like, well, maybe I could draw slightly smaller circles and then yeah, draw maybe a little bit more of the body and make it, you know, a lolly. And then all of a sudden, you know, it blew up, or at least it certainly seemed to get attention to you, and now you're getting commissioned regularly. So that's pretty awesome to have that happen.
Yeah, the amount of support I get kind of blows my mind sometimes, because I really came into this as like somebody who's like someone who follows artists, and it's like I see all these artists who are like following me and they're talking to me now, and I'm like, goddamn, it's kind of like a full circle.
Yeah, and you even have a fan box right now, is that right?
Yeah, that one's been going pretty well. I mean, my PayPal just got banned, but you know what, we don't talk about that. Well, that's just growing pains. That's just,
yeah,
I feel like it's kind of like a rite of passage. If you haven't been like banned off of like at least something, then that's how I got started on Barag. Is I got banned on Twitter, and then I'm like, you know what, I had an account I made in 2022. I might as well just use it, and I started posting there, and then I pretty much immediately took off, which was pretty crazy.
I'm glad you did, and I think you're right about it being a kind of like rite of passage for creators to do a lolly show to get banned at some point, because we did.
Yep.
More or less, not exactly a full ban, but on Patreon, they basically told us eventually, like, you need to take that your Shota game out of off Patreon, or we're gonna ban you, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even with Fanbox, you kind of got to skate around the fact, like, you can't even type the word lolly, you'll get immediately just like flagged. I posted on Fanbox, I posted like directly, and it was like a Lollytober thing. So I'm like, all right, here's some Lollytober images, and immediately the post got like flagged. It's like, you got to take this down.
If you do take commissions, like you do, Calamity, probably the smarter thing to do when you send out, when you ask someone for payment, is you sending out the invoice and being like, I'm drawing artwork. It's like you don't do any like specifics. And I wonder if that is one way to like be safer technically, because I think sometimes what may happen, though, this is more of just a theory, is that there might be some people who might send a commission payment to you just as just a almost like a donation kind of thing, but it's a commission payment. And then they say, you know, they type in the description or note like payment for Lolly Cunny Art, and then they send it. And then PayPal probably has some weird like scanner or something that looks for that word. And then they're just like, uh-oh. And then they, but that's probably not the same thing as what, or it's probably not exactly what happens. More than likely, it's accounts get reported, or maybe in your case, what happened is somebody maybe in the chain that you had worked with before, or had commissioned before, they might have gotten banned, and then it kind of caused the chain reaction. Who knows?
Yeah.
But either way, PayPal's a pain in the ass.
It is. It is a very big pain in the ass. There's not a lot of options these days. It's really, really unfortunate. But you know what? It hasn't stopped us before, so we'll just keep going.
That's right.
Well, see, you have the right mindset, because you know, Dr. X and I have talked about this before, about, you know, what alternative ways the Lolly Show community can kind of band together and be able to help each other out. And you know, I do think it is very, very possible and will happen. It just mostly comes down to finding a finding either a central website or a place where it can be. Actually, apparently there was a website called Housefly, which is a weird name and a weird logo, because it like is really just like a gross ass housefly as their logo. But they were actually a platform that allowed pretty much any creator to go on there. And they accepted, I think they accepted crypto primarily, but then they also, I don't know if they accepted other form of payments, but apparently it was, it seemed to do decently well, but I guess the server costs probably got too much, and then they had to shut it down last month.
Is that what they said?
Now that's what they claim they said. I mean, I know like some websites that are primarily crypto based. I know not everybody trusts that kind of stuff, but they said that it was mainly just a cost thing. Like they just could not keep up with the cost of the servers, probably because it was growing really rapidly. And they did also say they were willing to like help people out and kind of give them the Housefly domain and everything if they wanted to take it over.
So it was growing pretty well?
The problem is I wasn't able to check on it because it had shut down by the time I found out about it. But people had been like discussing it like on Reddit and like it had been talked about as alternatives to like Subscribestar, to Patreon, things like that.
Hopefully that becomes more viable in the future. And I know, you know, crypto has its controversies and stuff, but it's just a matter of practicality, right? I mean, if you keep getting banned from different payment processors like PayPal or Visa or whatever, it doesn't leave you with a lot of options. So,
I mean, I'm kind of in a better spot than a lot of artists because this isn't really like something I do as primary income. I know a lot of people who get banned, it's a lot more of a big deal because they're putting food on the table with a cunny. But this is just like a kind of like a hobby for me. I've mainly opened Fanbox because a lot of people were asking for it, and I'm like, I mean, I might as well. And then commissions, funny enough, I opened commissions initially at the end of last year. It was mainly just to kind of like light a fire because I was really demotivated, and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna, if I'm drawing something for someone and there's a deadline and there's money involved, I'm like, you know, I'm probably going to be more likely to actually like get off my ass and start drawing. And so I opened commissions, and then, of course, being the very smart person I am, I opened, the first time ever opening commissions, I opened like 13 slots, which is a lot.
Yep.
It needless to say, and this is immediately after doing Lollytober, mind you, I've essentially been drawing nonstop since like September. And mind you, I also work 40 hours a week. So I've been doing a lot of drawing in my free time. And you know, when you throw a certain monkey game in the equation, it really doesn't leave me with a lot of time, mind you. But I'm sure we'll get to that game soon. So yeah, I open commissions. I do. I set myself a really, really dumb deadline. I'm like, I'll do 4 or 5 days per drawing. And me, I am a very, very inefficient person when it comes to drawing. So I'll do like a sketch and then I'll sit on it for like 3 days. And it's just like, yeah, I get bad ADHD. So I open 13 slots. I finally finish it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take a big break. And then immediately after finishing commissions, you know, I'm gonna start doing like a billion sketches and not finishing them. So I do that for a month, and then at a certain point, I believe what happens is, you know, my cat needs surgery. So I'm like, that's $1,700 down the drain. You know what I should do? I should open another round of commissions, but I'm gonna be smart this time. I'm gonna open only 5 slots, and I'm gonna pace myself. I'm not gonna be stupid. So I opened 14 slots this time, and then, so here I am on currently as of right now, I'm on slot, what slot am I on? I think I'm on slot 9. Yeah. And then I start falling behind on everything, and I start left and right messaging artists. Hey, you want to do an art trade? Hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then, you know, I'm like, you know what, I got to push everything back. So now I'm on a little week-long break from doing commissions, a little have 2 seconds to breathe before I jump back in.
I mean, it sounds like you're a very, very, you know, even though I know you say that you may be having trouble, you know, getting stuff done on time and stuff, it does sound like you're a very hard worker, because I mean, to do 40-hour work weeks and also do like that many commissions, and you're playing, you know, the monkey sex game.
I wish it was monkey sex.
Yeah, that game is very demanding. Yeah, I mean, the good thing is, once I'm done all this shit, I can start drawing some of that.
Oh man, I definitely will be very hyped when you start drawing more balloons, TD, more balloons, TD stuff. That'd be awesome if you do that.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it's so popular, but there is artists drawing it, like Goat Boy. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Dude's basically like the CEO of Balloons Porn. Basically drawn every like minute little tower upgrade. He has a picture of it. And so like there's artists who do it, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know, there should be a lot more.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you hear about like what happened when it might have been that same artist, but basically on the Balloons TD Reddit, this was like, what, 2 years ago, maybe, Dr. X, that there was someone who drew, I think it was either, it might have just been like a regular monkey.
It was like Lolly Sada, I think.
It was like Lolly Sada, right? And it was an animation, and it was like her doing basically like a cowgirl like thing, and like her coming and all this other stuff.
Oh, I have seen that.
Well, what happened was it blew up on Reddit, and it became the number one all-time post on the Balloons TD Reddit.
Oh, that is nuts.
And of course, naturally, what happened was there were people who got butthurt over it, and they had to like ban it or remove it or whatever.
So did the Reddit like already allow NSFW?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, what that was a good, that was a very
literally
based thing for them to do.
1984.
But...
yeah,
can't even have Sada ass on the fucking timeline. Literally George Orwell.
Yeah, I think they did because there was fan art before, and like I think the only stipulation they had was, is, you know, you had to spoiler tag it and like, you know, NSFW, and it would like blur it out and stuff. But like people started looking at it, and because the animation was like, you know, so fucking good. I mean, it looked exactly like the style, and of course it was Lolly Sada, and it was so funny because the debate was, I think there were people who were just kind of like, it's a lolly. And then there were other people who were just like, actually, they're proportionally correct to what the characters look like. And
that's what I was going to ask about, because obviously when you're playing Balloons, it's not like the fucking monkeys have big ass tits getting in the way all the time. So they're pretty flat. So if you're if you're, you know, representing them in a faithful way, they're going to be flat, right? So I was wondering, like, did she look like a loli aside from being flat?
I think it was more just style accurate. I don't know. I don't think it was specifically, if I'm remembering correctly, I mean, you can probably pull it up. I don't know if now is the time to pull it up, but
yeah, you can do it if you want.
Yeah. Whip it out. Yeah, I mean, from what I remember in the animation, she might have been stylized like a little bit to well, I think where people got hung up on it was, I think the person did like give her like nipples or whatever.
Oh no, not nipples.
Well, it's this, you know how Reddit is and a lot of these communities are, and they just flipped out over it. I don't know if it was because of people thinking it was loli or people just being just butthurt that it was NSFW that had gotten the number one all-time slot, which it might have been both, and they just kind of compounded on each other.
Yeah, but it's crazy.
It was still really, really funny.
Speaking of compound, so this Stada, I mean, it doesn't really look loli. It just looks like it's accurate to the style. I mean, I guess, which is kind of adjacent to that, but I mean, I feel like if you're looking at this and you're like, damn, how old is she actually? Then I feel like you're just gonna say that for anything. This isn't like a Zam She 12 situation. This is just a monkey.
She's just a monkey, bro. It's just a monkey. I'm sure there were some people on there saying that. They're just like, it's just a monkey, bro. Stop freaking out over it.
I mean, as someone who pretty much exclusively draws images where it specifically says how old they are, I wouldn't draw a caption of this saying, I can't believe this monkey is only 8 years old.
I think people are just so sensitive about like about it that like if Sada doesn't have like huge like double D tits to like compensate, like, oh my god, that's a loli.
Yeah, it's the classic the classic Twitter, I'll only draw Kana if she has a giant rack and like an ass as big as the ocean. I mean, that's the whole short sack loli debate is a whole other topic. It's a muddy debate, but all I'll say is there's a lot of people who say they're lolicons, and then when they look at an actual loli, it's like, hold up.
Yes,
I think I figured out that over the years that there's like people who like think that people who say that they're into loli are actually more like it, like you said, into either like short stacks or things like that. But then when they see an actual loli, they like think that's like a toddler, basically.
Yeah.
that's their way of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's all lines and pixels at the end of the day.
So speaking of lolis, how did you get into them in the first place?
Honestly, as long as I've been into like porn in general, it wasn't really like an awakening moment for me. It's just kind of like, the characters that I wanted to fuck when I was a kid, I still want to fuck now. That nothing's changed here.
Respectable.
Yeah, it's like when I'm like 8 years old and I'm playing Sonic Adventure and I see Amy Rose. I mean, this isn't a loli, but it's the same kind of thing. It's like I'm a fully grown man and it's like I still want to fuck Amy Rose. That's how it is. Ain't nobody gonna take that away from me.
I mean, I feel like isn't that how it usually is? And you kind of have to like force yourself not to feel that way. I mean, that's what it seems like to me. The Hydro, like, do you also think that was the way with you?
I would say so, yeah, because I mean, if you think about it, like, well, I remember we've had episodes where we talked about this before, but like, if you're just, you know, the same age as a character that you see in a game, and you know, you're attracted to them, you're not thinking about like, oh my god, the age difference. You're more thinking like, oh man, they're just like me, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, that attraction just kind of translates into adulthood, right? I mean, this is the whole reason why people are nostalgic for, you know, for example, Harley Quinn, right? Like Harley Quinn from the original Batman animated series,
or Misty.
Misty's a great example.
What I like to call the Pokemon to lolicon pipeline, because that whole entire franchise, I would probably say, is responsible for a good portion of people like me nowadays. But here's the thing: you have two paths. It's like the two roads. You either become a lolicon or you become a furry. That's the end goal for every single Pokemon fan.
But what if you become both? what if you're like me and Dr. X, where you're like
you're all powerful?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to fuck Vaporeon. Even normies want to fuck Vaporeon. That's how it is. But I mean, I feel like it kind of extends to Pokemon as well, where it's like you grow up and you see these Pokemon characters, and it's like, damn, I want to fuck Hilda. But then you have the added bonus of the fact that all of the Pokemon characters' ages are fucking either ambiguous or just totally like nonsensical. Like, did you know that Poppy is 1 year younger than Dawn? Poppy is 9 years old and she looks like a 5-year-old. But the point is, all the Pokemon girls' ages are like either non-canon or like non-specified. So it's like you're a 10-year-old and you're like, damn, I want to fuck this Pokemon girl. And then you grow up and you're 15 and you're like, damn, I want to fuck this Pokemon girl because she doesn't really have an age. She could be 10. She could be 17. If you're on Twitter, she's probably 25 and has a giant rack. But that's the wonder of Pokemon is, I feel like even aunties or even like normal people, quote unquote normal people, they kind of don't really care that much about Pokemon. Like, of course, there's people who are gonna like freak out about everything, but you'll see like artists draw Hilda or like Rosa or like most Pokemon characters, ones that are like canonically like 12, and people don't really care because Pokemon's kind of chill. I mean, Lana is like as lolly as you can get, but people don't really seem to care about Lana. I've even seen people draw like Acerola on Twitter and people really do not care. And so I feel like Pokemon kind of has that exception as far as franchises go.
I think you're onto something. I also think, especially with the protagonists, because like they're kind of like self-inserts in a way, so like you can kind of interpret them if you really want to as like shorter adults that are, you know, more petite if you really want to. And you see that a lot on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, or if you're based, you could draw them as 5-year-olds. I mean, I'm not saying any artists out there should, but you know.
I mean, they should.
Yeah. I mean, that would be something like Highwear would do.
Yeah, and if you want to draw them saying that they're 5, I mean, hey, I'm just saying.
Do you have any favorite protagonists in particular?
Like from Pokemon specifically?
Yes.
I spend too much time considering my favorite Pokemon characters. I have ranked them in a tier list of every single Pokemon characters. I made the goddamn tier list. But as far as Pokemon girls go, I mean, outside of protagonists, my favorite Pokemon girl is kind of surprising because it's not Alolan, it's Roxanne, which is kind of a crazy pick because people don't really consider Roxanne. But she has the secret weapon of being a fucking straight Shota menace, I like to say. And this is canon. It's totally not just me making it up. She fucks her students all the time and they're all little boys.
That's good lore.
So that's what Roxanne does all the time. That's why she's the goat. Although recently I've been considering Hapu as my favorite. Hapu is very underrated. She has giant fucking pinball paddle eyebrows, which is really hot. If you couldn't tell from my art, I like giant triangle eyebrows. So Hapu, she loves horses. Everybody knows that. Her Mudsdale is like fucking giant.
There was a recent animation that somebody did with her Mudsdale, and I love it. It was really good. Definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, that one, fun fact, I commissioned that.
Oh, man. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, I'm assuming you mean the one with, she's like rubbing her face on the horse, right? Like the cock?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I commissioned that one. That shit was like 10,000 yen, which is ridiculously fucking cheap for that.
Oh my and god.
I only sent them like the first part with like where she's like rubbing it on her face. They did the whole like second loop. They did that just like on their own volition. So
that's insane.
That artist, they have a name I can't really, it's like BBALTONG, all caps. I don't know if that's like, I'm not supposed to pronounce it or not, but I've commissioned them 6 times. And yeah, it's been peak every single time. You can probably tell what my other ones are. There's a Roxanne one where she's slugging off a Shota. And then there's one with Poppy and Mira, which I mean, most people don't even know who Mira is. She's like that, she's from this Gen 4. She's like, she's got like those big pink hair loops. She gets lost in the cave. She probably gets raped by Oji-san, but that's besides the point. In the commission, she and her and Poppy are, you know, doing what they do best and getting raped in the butt. But yeah, commission that art. I've commissioned a lot of goddamn art. I can't even keep track of it. One of my favorite commissions is I'm assuming you know of the game Atlas, and the artist behind it used to do like a lot of furry stuff, like a lot of huge asses. And I commissioned, right before they stopped doing commissions, I commissioned Maractus, which is one of my favorite commissions.
Oh, but well, Maractus. I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, it writes itself pretty much. Yeah, that reminds me of the picture I drew. Sometimes I just come up with like the dumbest pun, and I just like, you know what, I gotta make an image of this. So, you know, images where it's like, you know, the loli is calling you like a pedo or whatever, she's like being a brat. I kind of thought of that, except instead of saying that word, it's a bratty Maractus, and she calls you a pedophile.
That's close.
It's like, you know, well, you can't really, it's lightning in a bottle. Like, you know, I can try and make a sequel to that image. It's not going to capture the original. It's just stuff like that where it's like, I like making images where it's like, it's really funny because I used to not like dialogue in images at all. I just wasn't really into it. And then I just started writing stuff, and I'm like, you know what, this is good. Like that Alex animation I made, where the whole genesis of like me thinking of the whole thing was just making like this like Minecraft text box where it's just in-game text, and it's just Alex, and it just keeps showing, instead of saying, you know, when you die in Minecraft it gives you like a death message, instead of saying like Alex has fallen from whatever and died, it says Alex was raped by zombie. And then it's like I throw in like a bunch of like in-game stuff, like achievements and stuff like that. And I feel like the like something really good in drawings is when they include like in-game like elements, like UI elements, or they make it look like something that's like actually from the game, which is something that I've been trying to do more. Like in like when I do Stardew Valley stuff, I try to include like the little like sundial in the corner.
I'm such a dumb. I only just realized that you did that animation of Alex and the Minecraft zombies, and that's like one of my super recent like favorite like loli animations. So man, kudos to you for doing that one, because that is so fun. I totally get why it's so fun to add dialogue and text, because you know I work on DGen comics with Highware, and you know I always enjoyed the image and the text and the writing, and you know that's why like I work on In Sexual Awakening as well. It's like a visual novel. You get the images and you get the dialogue, and it adds a whole new layer, I think, to, because it gives you context, it gives you, it really adds more layers to it, and you kind of think about it more, and it's just a lot of fun when you can come up with dialogue and add a little bit more spice to it.
Yeah, and I feel like it's an art of its own, trying to add dialogue where, you know, it kind of fits in universe. I mean, obviously you're going to stretch it. Obviously, Jas from Stardew Valley is not going to call you a pedophile. She doesn't do that. That's not how Stardew Valley goes. But it was kind of like trying to find a way to like make it seem like something that she would do if she was that kind of freak. You know what I mean? Like try kind of like include like elements of the game, include references of the game. That's why I like mainly drawing stuff where like I'm familiar with the property, because I can include stuff like that. Like, hey, she said Aunt Marnie said that she's can't stay out late, but she's having sex with the farmer and she's only 7 or something like that. But it's like you can include stuff like that, and people who are familiar with the character, it's gonna just make it even better.
Well, I totally get what you're saying there. It's like if you're familiar with the character and how they canonically behave, you're able to kind of create a context that fans of it would really appreciate, right? Yeah, because then they'd be like, oh yeah, oh that's so clever that you know they did this, and it makes, and like this could happen in the game, and that just makes it more fun. I feel the same way. Like if I'm gonna work with like an established character, I try to keep them as like, I try to keep elements of like what their character actually is, like the comic I'm working on with Samus and the orphan kids. Like I kind of researched a bit on like Samus's Zero suit and like how exactly that Zero suit works. And I found out that she has to like really concentrate to keep the Zero suit on. So I was just kind of like, oh, you know, it'd be kind of fun is if she starts getting like aroused by these kids, like grabbing her tits and stuff. It'd be funny if her concentration broke and then her Zero suit just kind of disappears or dematerializes is the term that they call it.
The pedophile curse.
Yeah, it's just, even if you're like, even if you can't make it like, for example, I drew a picture of Lana and the Poke Kid. It was actually commissioned, funny enough. It's if you can't make their personalities fit, because like, Lana is not going to say these things that she's saying in this image, but you can add stuff like a concept behind the image. Like the concept is that she basically got this Poke Kid, the Eevee Kid, and it's like she's visiting Alola and she's from Galar, and it's like, well, the whole concept of the image is Alola is fucking crazy and they kidnap kids, and it's like Galarian kids are so easy. And it's like I kind of play into the idea of like something I like to think of is like if there's like a secret hidden island on Alola where it's like it's essentially like Epstein's island, but it's a Pokemon version. And yeah, it's like adding stuff like that where it's like I can add basic dialogue or no dialogue and it'd be the same thing. That image blew the fuck up on Pixiv, by the way. It's got like 20k nice. Likes. I'm like,
oh my god, holy shit. That's crazy.
People do love the text. I mean, a lot of the commissions I get now are like, they're like, hey, can you make them say crazy shit? I'm like, go right ahead. I've kind of set up commissions in a way where the stuff that I get commissioned is stuff where I would essentially already draw it, which is really good. I feel like it's a really great position to be in as an artist because like I'll get... Like, for example, the first time I opened commissions, I got 25 requests or submissions. And the reason I took 13 is because I got 13 really fucking good suggestions. And I'm like, well, I want to draw these all. And these are all things that I would probably end up drawing for free anyway. So I might as well just take them and I'll get some money along the way. And then 2-3 months later, I was still working on commissions and I wanted to die. But you know what? We got the bag in the end. And then you can look at my catalog and a lot of the stuff, you can't even tell it's a commission. Like the picture that's like by far my most popular picture on Pixiv, that was a commission, but it's something that I would pretty much, it's part of my style. Honestly, a lot of the stuff that makes my style is stuff that was commissioned, which is pretty crazy. Like the first thing I ever got commissioned was a picture of Sue from Grandia, which is like, it's kind of a crazy moment where it's like the first thing I ever get commissioned is Sue from Grandia, like with a bunch of crazy ass dialogue. And I'm like, this is something where like that only makes sense in my mind, but there's people out there who really resonate with it, which is pretty crazy.
I mean, you're kind of getting the perfect setup, right? When there's a mutual benefit. Meaning you get the people who want to commission what they want to see, then you like the idea, so you create it and you get some income from it, and then you post it and it blows up. Like that's really like the trifecta. That's like the holy trinity of what an artist wants.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing, because I'll get a commission, like someone will send me an idea and I'm like, well, I mean, obviously art isn't about numbers and it's not all about numbers, but like I see a commission and I see this is just gonna blow the fuck up. Like Buddy is asking me to draw Lana saying funny words. That's exactly what my followers are following me for. Like pretty much everybody who follows me is following me for either Lana or Poppy or Jass or something else. Probably like, honestly, the Alex animation blew the hell up, but it's like they're following me for like characters or they're following me for dialogue. And that's what people are commissioning. Because what I do for commissions to kind of encourage that is I have a whitelist of characters and they're discounted. So when I send people my commission sheet and they go through the whitelist of characters, they're going to want to pick those ones because they're cheaper. And I want them to pick those ones because I want to draw them. It's like if someone hops into my DMs and they want, see my whitelist here, if they want Dory from Genshin Impact, taking a horse cock up the ass, I mean, I'm all game to get paid money to draw that because that's what I was going to draw anyway.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it seems like you've got your finger on the pulse of, in this case, the pulse of the penis and the clitoris of people that really are into exactly what we want to create. I mean, it wouldn't surprise if Twitter wasn't so crap and allowed Lolly and Shota stuff, I'm sure you would have, probably the majority of all those things you created probably would have blown up on Twitter too.
I've actually been posting to Twitter recently. I got like 4K followers there recently. Honestly, I don't put too much stock in Twitter. Like, I have 6K on Barog and 4K on Twitter, and I have, how much do I have on Pixiv? I have a decent amount. I have like 27K, which I was honestly surprised by.
Wow.
Very nice.
I got a shit ton from the Lana picture, honestly. I looked at my followers. I was at like 10K, and I looked back a couple weeks later, and I'm at like 25K. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
And were they all posting the nosebleed emoji?
Oh, they love their nosebleeds. They love their little elephant with the nosebleed.
Oh, elephant nosebleed. That's their go-to.
Yeah, but it's like, out of those three, I put more stock into Barog because... those people are active. Those people are, I mean, actual people, because I mean, Twitter has a lot of bots, or at least it used to. And Pixiv, I mean, it doesn't really feel like a social media platform most of the time. Like, I don't really browse Pixiv. I honestly do not keep my Pixiv up to date as much as I should. Like, I've posted 3 times there in the past couple months, and I mean, people are still going there. But I mean, I don't really care to censor my works. Like, not really as from a moral standpoint, more just because it's annoying to have to censor works. I'm pretty neurotic about it, and I don't really like throwing white lines on stuff. It just kind of looks bad to me, so I usually do mosaic, but since I'm really specific about stuff, like, it has to be pixel perfect. And I mean, throwing a mosaic on pixel art is already kind of silly as it is, but yeah, I mean, I don't really care to upload on Pixiv. I don't really care to tag in Japanese. It's not really that fun. So I don't post there too often. And then Barog, it's like, I mean, that's where I started pretty much. I started on Twitter, but I mean, I really started on Barog, and that's where everybody follows me from. And I mean, if I get a post with 500 likes on Barog, I see that as equivalent to like 5K on Twitter, because I mean, if I get 5K on a post on Twitter and it's like Lana calling you a pedophile, then all that's going to happen is I'm going to get like 500 people in my DMs saying, hey, buddy, you know she's 12, right? I'm like, yeah, that's why I drew her, buddy.
That's the point, man.
That's the whole point. He's like, hey, how do you know she's an 8-year-old, right? I'm like, yeah, you know she's hot? You know she's a hot 8-year-old? It's like... At this point, like, I don't really care. Like, it's all lines and pixels. I mean, if you're really gonna care that much about that, I mean, life's too short.
Yeah, that's right. They're not real, bro.
They're not real. I mean, yeah, and I mean, it's the internet. Like, even as far as like lolicons go, it's like, I feel like sometimes people just take this stuff too seriously. Like, I'll see people talk about how things are just drawings, and they'll dunk on antis, and then they'll see NTR, their favorite character, and suddenly the fact that it's a drawing goes out the window, and it is the most offensive thing ever. Which sounds pretty specific, but yeah, I mean, I feel like I kind of see that a lot. Like, if it's just a drawing, then
that's
just a drawing. It applies to everything. Like,
you
can't really take stuff too seriously these days.
It's crazy that Poppy is canonically 9, really?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
What the fuck?
she is an infant. She is a morsel of a human being. That thing is not 9. That thing is yeah. But yeah, she's a year younger than Misty, a year younger than Dawn. That's just messed up. Hapu is 8.
These ages are kind of like randomly generated sometimes.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But
Hapu is 8 years old. Hapu is younger than Poppy. I've seen people who think that Hapu is a granny, which is silly, but I mean, that's kind of how she's designed. But she's 8. She's Mudsdale has a lot of fun with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that for her. She's 8. I think Hydra, you never played Sun and Moon, I think.
I only played like a little bit of it. Like I only, and of course, like you said, I remember we were talking about like which which rivals were like the most annoying or most boring, and what's his name? Who was the rival in Sun and Moon?
How is my op? How needs to shut his mouth? Here's the thing: I have actually never played Scarlet and Violet, so I have not played the game with Poppy in it. I've not played Sword and Shield, and I only recently played Gen 7. I didn't play Sun and Moon, but I played Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. I used to buy Pokemon games as they came out. The last time I bought one was, the last time I bought one and really played it was Horas. And then I bought Sun back when it came out. And it's everything people say about the dialogue. It is all true, man. That game has so much goddamn dialogue. And I mean, once you get past it, it's a fun game. I feel like it's the last like classic feeling Pokemon game, if that makes any sense. Yeah. But it's just they never shut up, man. Like everything people say about the dialogue in that game is totally true. Although funny enough, a bit of a side tangent, I do feel like with Oras, that one IGN review where they talk about how it has too much water and it's like 7.8, too much water, and it's a big meme. Honestly, I feel like they're kind of spitting. I feel like Oras and Hoenn in general has way too much goddamn water. And I see it as kind of like a bell curve where it's like, if you're a really casual, like non-Pokemon fan and you're reviewing that game, you're like, hey, this has way too much water. And then it's like, if you're like kind of like a normal Pokemon fan, you're like, what are you talking about? That's a stupid critique. But then if you're like, really obsessive like me, and you're like, you pay attention to dumb details that no one cares about, you kind of realize there is way too much goddamn water in this game. I was watching a video of like, I think they were talking about like every Pokemon of a certain type in Gen 3, and the amount of water types in that game is absolutely absurd. And it's like, if you're playing Emerald in Gen 3, you have the 8th gym, which is a water type gym, and then you have Wallace, which is a water type Elite Four member, and then you have like 10 trillion water routes, and then you have like a billion love discs, and then you have Skitty mating with Wailord over in the corner, and it's like there is way too much goddamn water. Anyway, that is my IGN review Oras rant. And back to the point of Pokemon in general, I feel like Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, they're solid games, but yeah, it's so I have to play it on an emulator. I have to fast forward that shit, because honestly, people like talking about the plot in that game being solid. I feel like it's all right. It's good for a Pokemon game, but I don't want to hear all that yapping. I don't care about your whatever you have to talk about. I don't want to battle you every 3 seconds. I just want to see Hapu. I want to see her ass get cored out by Mudsdale. I want to see Lana. I want to see your sisters. I want to see mainly Hapu. But yeah, and I honestly, I haven't, I gotta go back, because I beat the main plot, but I didn't beat the Elite Four. And I know there's that golfer chick, Kahili, who's, I know she's gonna be hot. And I just know she's gonna be hot.
She is,
I kind of had the idea to draw her age down. And it's like, this is kind of what I'm talking about, where like, I'll think of something clever and I'll make a whole drawing out of it, where, you know, she's a golfer. And you know how in golf, the lower number is better. So I kind of want to make like a joke about that. And I can also make a joke about getting a hole in one. It's just that's how the puzzle pieces work in my mind. I'll think of something stupid like that. And it's just like,
it's that kind of clever thinking. I totally get it.
Hydra, remember I showed you that video of there were like two girls, and they had their asses up. They're laying on the back, but had their asses up, and they were anal gaping. So they had quite a big gape, and then like someone kind of off screen had a golf ball and golf club. So I think they got a hole in one, right? So it landed in their assholes, and it made a sound.
Yeah, you gotta have fun with it, man. It's just that's how you stand out. I mean, you just gotta kind of draw stuff that's clever. Everybody's seen Kana. Everybody's seen all these characters. You gotta draw stuff that just, like, stands out. You gotta draw stuff that people aren't drawing. The thing I like to do, I feel like my strength as an artist doesn't really lie in the quality of the art itself, because I like my art. I feel like every artist is pretty hard on themselves. It's the classic imposter syndrome. But what I will say to compliment myself is the thing I am good at is, like, finding stuff that is, like, a niche that hasn't really been hit. Like, for example, the example I like to use is Jas from Stardew Valley, because there's a good amount of porn of her now. But when I started being interested in drawing porn, I'm like, there is next to no porn of this character. And then when you think about it, Stardew Valley is, like, one of the... I'm pretty sure it's the best-selling indie game. No, is Minecraft considered an indie game? I don't know. It's one of the best-selling indie games. Oh, yeah, not anymore. But, like, it's either one of or the best-selling indie game of all time. That shit has, like, billion, trillion sales. And there was, like, single-digit amount of, like, passable Jas porn when I started drawing porn. There has got to be, if just by sheer numbers and math, there has got to be thousands of lolicons who just want to fuck Jas, and they are starved of content. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to draw her. And people liked it. It wasn't back in the day of 2023, my art wasn't super good. Like, I was obviously still learning, but I mean, people love Jas because nobody's drawing her, and I get compliments. I'm like, no, please draw more Jas. I'm like, all right. And now she's pretty much like a mainstay of, like, what I draw. It's the same kind of thing with Pokemon, because what I like to do is I look at franchises that are really big and everybody plays, but I like to look at characters that don't get drawn, or characters that are, like, low-key really popular, but, like, nobody is drawing them getting railed. Like, with Pokemon, to a lesser extent, Poppy, because there's a lot of porn of her now, there is a lot, but, like, there wasn't a ton, and I kind of saw the potential of, like, there's this character who... at the time I thought was, like, 5 years old, which, I mean, in my mind she still is, and people like Poppy, so that's what I kind of found out. And you see the same thing with Fuda on Loli is probably the low-key the most popular genre of porn, and there is next to no one really capitalizing on that. The main person capitalizing on it is someone who posts AI generations. And it's like, regardless of your thoughts on AI, they're the only person who's really filling that niche, and no other artists are doing it. So eventually in the future, I'm gonna try and draw more of that stuff. And when I mean Fuda and Loli, I mean, like, really leaning in to the age play aspect. Like, Fuda on Loli, trans girls on Loli, even femboy on Loli is stuff that's extremely popular with the demographic of, like, because obviously there's a lot of trans girls in the Loli community, and they like content where it's like the trans girl on Loli, because, you know, obviously you're gonna like that kind of stuff, but there's not really a lot of that content out there. And I mean, I feel like every time anybody, you can look on ATF, sort by score, and you can see a lot of the stuff is Fuda on Loli. Like, that's what I kind of like to do, is I like to pay attention to ATF, ATF Boru specifically, and I like to see it, like, what do people like, what do people resonate with. And it's like, I'm not just, like, trend chasing, obviously, because if I wanted to trend chase, I'd be posting nothing but, like, Kana, and honestly, probably, like, Mabel Pines and stuff like that, Gwen 10, that's what's really popular. But I like to look at stuff that, I like to strike a balance between stuff that's popular and stuff that I want to draw, and stuff that doesn't get drawn, which I feel like my skill set kind of lies. Like, people like Jas, people ain't drawing Jas, and Jas is really popular, so, you know what, I'm gonna draw Jas, or I'm gonna make an OC, which is, like, a Fuda babysitter who babysits toddlers and says a bunch of crazy shit, because there's this dude posting AI generations on ATF Boru who is incredibly popular. And I mean, the content goes hard as hell, and it's stuff that people aren't really making, because it's kind of like a lot of the caption content is more like AI generated, and just because there's not a lot of artists who want to post it. because a lot of artists, I guess, are either kind of like, they don't really want to touch that. Like, I know the content's pretty taboo, like caption content, age mention, age play. And I mean, they don't really want to associate with that. But I mean, I've kind of found at the end of the day, my philosophy is somebody who's not a lolicon, who hates lollies, they pretty much see that content the same as they'll see a picture of Kana in a bikini. That's what I've pretty much found is, at the end of the day, to them, it's child porn. So who cares? And throw caution to the wind. It's all drawings. I know it's all drawings. So I'm going to draw people saying dumb shit. I'm going to draw people saying unhinged shit. Because this person on Twitter thinks it's CP. So, you know what? Fuck them. I'm going to they're going to reply to some person making a safe for work image of Kana on the beach, saying, calling them like heinous shit. I'm just going to sit here in my little corner of the internet making crazy shit. And you know what? That's what I like doing. That's what people follow me for. That's what people like. It's a niche that not a lot of people like filling, but yeah, I feel like that's part of my appeal. It's just I like finding stuff that people don't really draw at the end of the day, to simplify it.
I think it's an advantage for you because people can kind of expect what they're going to get from you.
Oh yeah, like people, I have the benefit of that being what blew me up. Like the poppy picture I drew initially that started it all was like, it came out the gate with like age mention, you know, saying the funny word, the funny P word. And I mean, that's how I grew my audience. So I'm not going to have like, I can see why a big artist wouldn't pivot to that content, because there's going to be a good portion of their audience that doesn't fuck with that content. Me personally, if I post something unhinged, I have 6,000 followers and like 99% of them already follow me for that. There might be a couple people who followed me for like a commission drawing of like, say they followed me for the picture of Sage I posted the other day where it's just like she's spreading her legs. And then they see me post some crazy unhinged caption. But I mean, that's not the norm. People follow me and they know that I post this stuff. My bio literally says all characters are under 18, which is funny.
People really like
that one. It's like, I see it so many times. It's like, even on Barog, it's like, people gotta post that everything's over 18. Everybody knows that they're not over 18. They know it's not over 18. This ain't Twitter. You don't got to put that in your bio. I feel like people on Barog are smarter than that. Even on Twitter, like, my bio is, what is it? I draw much more unhinged shit offsite. If you care about a character's age, this isn't the place for you. Twitter, I don't really honestly care if I get suspended. I mainly post shit posts. Like, everything. If you go on my Twitter account, which is just Calamity33 _, it's all fucking Ojimacho Doremi shit posts. That's all it is. I feel bad for the people who follow me. I have 4,000 followers and they follow me for like the picture of Roxy I posted.
Well, hey, maybe they're following you for that they just love the shit posting, and then they go on Barog for the other stuff.
It even leaks into Barog. If you go to my gallery, you'll see a picture of Doremi saying the age of consent is 2 or something.
Oh, so it's like the counterpoint to the goofy Dragon Ball thing, where they're just kind of like that. That's what Dr. X and I always laugh at, is that on Twitter, people start posting like Goku saying like the age of consent is 18 or whatever. And
these are people who don't actually fucking know the Dragon Ball series. Fucking posers.
Yeah, they really don't know that series.
I mean, it's not even just like the captions. It's just, I fucking love Ojimacho Doremi. I infect my timeline with all the Doremi propaganda I can. Honestly, my goal as an artist for the past couple months has pretty much just been to get people to watch Ojimacho Doremi. That's, yeah. I haven't really had a chance to draw a lot of art of it because I didn't commission jail, but like, I post a picture of, like, a screenshot of a character, and it's just her showing her ass. Like, it's like a screen cap from the show. Like, it gets almost 200 likes. Because, I mean, it's erotic. Hana-chan is erotic. That's all I gotta say. And it warms my heart when I see people saying, I started watching Ojimacho Doremi because of this giant-ass Hana-chan image you drew. That is, even, I know a lot of people, like artists, when they say, people say they got into art because of them, it's like that kind of feeling. I'm like, I exist here in the year 2025 to get people to watch Ojimacho Doremi. spread propaganda about it.
Well, here's your chance to do a pitch for people, more people to watch it, people who are listening right now. Can you tell us about the show?
Oh, I can tell you a lot about the show. Funny enough, I just finished it the other week. It's a very long show. Well, long for me. I ain't one of those One Piece people who watch like 10 trillion episodes. it's four seasons, well, five seasons technically, and it's I think it's like 220 episodes, something like that. Because each season is 52, and then there's a fifth season, which is 13. It's essentially just it's a magical girl show, and it's just kind of one of those shows where you really got to just watch it. Like it just gets in the back of your brain. It's just saying it's brain rot is really reductive, because it's a really genuinely real show. But it's like once you watch it and you interact with other Dormy fans, you kind of get locked into it. You kind of get entranced in it. It's basically about it's a show about this girl named Dormy, and she becomes a witchling, or that's how they call it in the dub. That she becomes a witch apprentice, and you know, she has a lot of friends, Hazuki, Aiko, they become witch apprentices. Ampu is the purple-haired girl with the big toothpaste on her head. She becomes a witch apprentice, and then the best girl, Momoko Asuka, which I changed my Discord handle to. My Discord handle used to be Barag. I changed it to Momoko Asuka just because interacting with friend circles outside of Degen porn is kind of awkward when your handle's Barag. But yeah, she's the goat. I mean, there's all I can really say is watch the show. There's if you don't want to watch 200 episodes a peak, then just watch season 3 episode 37. That's all I gotta say.
I love how you have this. You have the specific season and episode. I swear you probably were gonna say like exact what minute it takes place in the episode.
If you want a specific minute, second to watch, then go to season one, episode six at 7:51. Basically, I've been watching this show with a couple good friends for the better part of the past half a year. And there's this one episode in season one where there's this girl named Nobuko, and it's really hard to explain this show because it's just a lot of it's inside jokes. It's me and my friends. A lot of it is just brain rot once you've been around other Dormy fans. But basically, there's just this one scene in episode six where we just keep playing it every single time we watch the show. We gotta play that one scene, and it's kind of hard to explain, because if you're not already hypnotized with Dormy, then it's kind of it's not very funny, but it's a very good show. It's kind of honestly been the main part of my life for the better half of the past year. It's like it's been inching into every aspect of my life. It's like I had Momoko Asuka profile picture on like all my socials except Barag, and it's such a great show.
Do you think like experiencing it with your friends is like locked you into getting deep in with it?
Yeah, I mean, I started watching it by myself, but it was brought on because my friends were watching it, and eventually we got caught up to each other. We started watching it together, and it's been honestly kind of, it's kind of cheesy to say life changing, but I mean, it's been part of my life for the better half of the past year. And yeah, I mean, it's a very emotional show at times. I know a lot of the times when people who haven't seen a lot of media talk about like cartoons and they're like, well, this is the most emotional thing I've ever seen, but it's a very emotional show. See, the ending of season one is probably the most emotional I've ever been at a show, which is kind of awkward because I was watching it at work in the break room, and it's like I'm watching this sad sad ending. I'm like, damn, I'm trying not to tear up at this goddamn magical girl show on my break.
Wally magical girls.
Yeah,
I just picture you like breaking down, and then like one of your coworkers comes to you and is like, what's wrong? these lolly magical girls.
Goddamn Dormy. But I mean, I don't really cry at media. Like I don't get sad at stuff. The very few amount of times I've cried at shows has been mainly like happy moments, and I don't really cry at sad stuff. Like that's the closest I've been ever to crying at something that's like really sad. It's very bittersweet, the ending. And the only other times I remember crying very, very odd moments in fiction. One time was that one scene in Bochy the Rock where she grabs the cup and she starts playing, and I'm like, God damn, she's really fucking playing it. And I think I start tearing up at that. It's just doesn't really make any sense. Why would you cry at this antisocial girl starting to fucking shred on stage? It's like, I don't know, maybe I see a bit of myself in her. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm literally her, maybe. And then the other scene, which really baffles me, that got me emotional, really fucking weird, is the concert scene in My Hero Academia where Jiro starts singing. Why? I'm not very well versed in that series. I think people don't really care for that arc or think it's filler or something like that. I honestly stopped watching the show at season 5. I just kind of fell out with it, but I'm like, all right, this is what makes me cry. I mean, maybe it's because Jiro's the goat. I mean, that's
why. I don't blame you for thinking that, honestly. I think she's
I mean Jiro's pretty great. I mean, I did like that part of My Hero Academia, actually. I mean, I think My Hero Academia is at its best when, you know, all the class 1A are together and stuff.
Yeah, I like the show. I like the aspect of like shows where it's like there's a lot of background characters, a lot of side characters, and they're all kind of like fleshed out or like at least interesting. And I feel like that's what drew me to that series initially. As far as I know, people like season 1 a lot. I honestly didn't really care for the first season because I felt like it focused a bit too much on like the main characters, which is a really dumb criticism to make. It focuses too much on the plot, but like I like when they show like Mina doing some dumb shit or like fucking coming acid or something like that, getting fucked by a horse. But it's like I like when they do stuff like that. I like when they show the dumb earphone jack girl doing stuff with her earphone jacks. I like when Mineta is like cucking Deku or something. I know that statement's probably gonna piss. that statement is gonna piss a lot of very specific people off for some reason. I honestly, NTR is not like one of my top fetishes. Like, it's not something I actively seek out. I think I just like the aspect where it's like people get really fucking heated about it. It is like, I will see people get more angry at NTR than like Loli. And keep in mind, these are the people who think Loli is straight CP, but they absolutely fucking hate NTR. It's like, I feel like maybe they got cheated on at some point, or maybe it's just a sore spot for them. But goddamn, some of these motherfuckers really do not. When somebody draws like Bakugo fucking the Gravity Girl or some shit, and I'm like, all right, I feel like it's kind of like a tame, like, not vanilla fetish, obviously, but I feel like it's not on the wider, it's on the wider spectrum of fetishes. It's not very like low as far as being like degenerate, but I mean, to these people, that shit is on the same level as like Cockvore or something.
I mean, I think it's because they treat the characters as like real people.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, how can you do that to those people?
Well, it ties back into the point I made earlier where people are, even lolicons do it, where it's like, you got to separate fiction from reality. But when my favorite character is getting shipped with someone I don't like, then these characters are real human beings and he is in a committed relationship and he cannot break that vow. And you know what, that is, if you're like someone who preaches like stuff just drawings because it's not a real kid, and then you start going on about that, I mean, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of hypocrisy even outside of like antis, because obviously antis, they tend to be a bit hypocritical, but I mean, I feel like
yeah, that's putting it
I mean, there's a bit of hypocrisy, yeah, there's obviously hypocrisy in that, but I mean, you kind of know, like, you know, antis are the way they are. Like, you don't got to interact with them. That's a mistake that a lot of lolicon artists make, is you really feed into it when you interact with them. Like, that, they win. The moment you reply to someone saying, dude, she's 8, you have lost the war, because you are talking to a brick wall. Just the best thing to do, don't even block them. Don't give them the satisfaction. Literally, that comment doesn't exist. And it's kind of hard because a lot of people exist on the internet to strive for like interactions like that. Like, people love conflict, especially in the current day and age where it's like conflict is good and not having an opinion is a bad thing. So just interacting with these people is just not like you're gonna lose. They're gonna win. They have all the time in the world. They sit on Twitter. This is where they live. They're in their little Twitter cave. You're in the goon cave, and it's an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. It's the strongest gooner versus the strongest Twitter warrior. It's just nothing's gonna come of it. And I mean,
well, no, something is gonna come, but it's not gonna be the Twitter person.
Honestly, you gotta flood
the Twitter cave with the goon juice. So.
There's been artists I've followed where it's like, obviously I'm not gonna name names, but it's like I've kind of had to just unfollow them because all they do is talk about antis. And it's like at that point, when I'm on Twitter, like I have ways to like avoid that stuff. Like there's ways to use Twitter and have it not be like a carcinogen, believe it or not. But
oh, really, that's surprising.
Yeah, I have a little method going, but it's like you follow lolicon artists or like artists who don't really give a shit, and it's like they're half of their tweets are quote tweeting antis, calling them out. And it's like at that point, my only exposure to antis is through these artists, and at that point, it's like they're too far gone. Like I don't really care for drama online, like. Even if you're saying shit that I directly disagree with, why do I care enough about you as a person to argue with you for hours on end when I could be jerking off, I could be drawing Hapu, I could be doing any other thing besides explaining why Poppy is 9 and that's really hot. I mean...
Well, Mama, she's 5, remember?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, drawing toddler Poppy would be a cool idea, but at that point you're just drawing Poppy because she's a fucking gremlin.
she's
drunk in the wash,
canonical Poppy.
Yeah, tall Poppy would be weird.
Yeah.
That would actually be strange, yeah.
It's like when they do aged up Anya.
There's an art to drawing aged up characters, and a lot of people, they just draw like a bigger head, they'll draw a taller body, they'll draw a big rack, they'll draw an ass, they'll draw maybe like a bit of an hourglass, draw some hips, and then suddenly Anya is okay to draw. She's 25 plus, PG clean, her brain is fully developed. That's another thing I see on Twitter where people, they've moved on from all characters are 18 plus, now all characters are like 25 plus, because your brain isn't fully developed until you're 25. So if you're jerking off to a 23 year old, sorry buddy, but you might be a pedophile and you don't even know.
I think they're rejecting because they know that their brain isn't fully developed themselves.
Yeah, I mean, half of these people putting this in their bio are probably 15. So who cares? You know what? Get off Twitter. I don't care.
I know there was this one really funny meme that showed Rocky from the Rocky movie, and he's like running with like this whole huge group of like kids, and underneath the caption says something like to Twitter users going to report underage art or something like that. It was all kids. It's really funny. Yeah. I love that.
I mean, of all the things, Twitter fucking sucks. But I mean, if they read and making these dumb like site-wide like changes are really stupid. But I feel like making it so minors can't use Twitter, it's something that you can't really implement. But I mean, in a perfect world, it'd be just utopia. There's a lot of, well, I mean, maybe a couple years ago, because a lot of those 15-year-olds are 20 now and they're just as dumb. Their brains, you know, they haven't fully developed because they're not 25 and they're still stupid. But I feel like a couple years ago, like Twitter was all right. And a lot of the people who were really stupid were like kids or like older teenagers. And now it's just like you see 22-year-olds just saying the dumbest shit and just having the dumbest takes. And it's like, I don't want anything to do with that. But my little secret method for Twitter is, I disable all fucking trending tabs with ad blocker. My Twitter page looks like it's very, very minimalist. I have about like probably like 100 words muted. Anytime there's like a new popular trending, like controversial topic, goes right in the muted words list.
Smart.
One thing I do is I turn off reposts for all artists I follow, because I mainly use Twitter just for like following specific artists. I don't really use it for discovery, because the second I go try and search anything new on Twitter, it's just like,
oh yeah, no,
here's someone getting beheaded, and here you go. But and then here's 45 dumb takes. Here's like the last Lakers game. Here's like a bunch of shit you don't care about. But yep. I mainly follow specific artists, so I don't put on reposts. So that pretty much cuts out like 90% of shit. And turning off trending tab helps. I turn off the explore tab. I turn even stuff like account suggestions to follow. Like my Twitter is very my Twitter timeline is very isolated. It's just chronological. It's just the people I follow. And God forbid you ever turn on the For You tab. It's just like I've whipped my Twitter into submission, so it gives me relevant content. If you're on a new Twitter account, like for example, I have this Dormy shitpost account, and I can just go on For You right now. This is a little test, and it's like the first thing I see is like, why do I care about Marjorie Taylor Greene? Why is this getting put on my timeline? There's someone just got shot. Literally took 2 seconds to see someone getting shot in the head, and this is on a Twitter account that I never use. And that's how Twitter is nowadays. If you make
and remember that that's allowed on Twitter, but not the no Lolly, no yeah, Shota, no
Lolly. Although I have found it's a bit more lax if you're tactical about it, because what I found is that if they have a giant ass, they do not care. I've posted like Hana, who is literally a 2-year-old, and she has a big butt, so no one cares. I do a lot of like horny posting about like minor characters. No one really cares. It's like, yeah, I mean,
it's because, like you said, their brains are still developing, but they at least do understand what big circles are.
Yeah, they have object permanence. They have they know shapes. Yep. They learn their shapes. Yep. Yes, they know, they recognize circles. But like I started posting on Twitter. I started posting like my non-Wally art. Like I posted the pedophile image, because I mean technically that's just a Maractus, and it's not saying anything technically that's naughty. And then I started posting just like Kyojiri art, and then I'm just like, you know, people don't really care. I posted Anya with a big butt, and we got 1.7k likes because nobody cares. And the part thing about Twitter is, as long as it doesn't leave its target audience, you're good. And once it leaves its target audience, you're fucking done. Once one person who the post was not intended for sees it, then they quote tweet it, and then yeah, you're hung up to dry.
Well, I mean, that's basically what happened with like Orenji, right? When he did the Anatomy of a Gamer thing, yeah. And then that like exploded on Twitter. It initially went to the audience it was intended for, and then you know that it went outside that realm, and then got banned. And even though the Maiden Abyss creator actually followed them,
I mean, some artists also just have plot armor. Like I know D-Art has been suspended before in the past. I don't know how that guy stays up for so long and gets like hundreds of thousands of followers. He follows me, by the way, which is pretty fucking crazy. Like I saw that and I'm like, god damn. But because he's pretty much the inspiration for me starting animation. I can go into that in a little bit, but yeah, I've seen him post, like, obviously he doesn't post directly the one Sasuke like baby animation.
I love that one.
That one is like the fucking Sar Bomba of fucking like straight Shota, like toddler con animation. Like straight up, that is like that's what I think of when I think of like that kind of content. And I mean, he didn't post it directly. As far as I remember, he like linked it. And I feel like if any account linked that, they would just be nuked, like torched off the platform, fucking scorched earth. They are like a pariah. But I mean, his account, from what I can tell, like this one is still up. And I mean, he has a decent amount of followers. I mean, obviously you're prone to get banned at any time, as with any platform. But I mean, yeah, as far as starting animation, it's a kind of a funny topic, because I've never, as an artist, like I don't really practice like ever. I cannot think of a single time where I've sat down and actually like practiced like drawing like stuff that doesn't actually turn into full pictures, which is kind of ass backwards as far as artists go, because I know obviously a lot of artists spend a lot of time practicing and doing figure drawing and stuff like that. I just kind of say fuck it and I just draw, and the reason why it takes me so long to finish drawing sometimes is I will bash my head against the wall until something looks right. And I like to punch above my drawing level sometimes, which is like, if, like, I'll draw so poses where I'm like, I can't draw this. This is not something I've drawn before. So I'll just keep drawing and drawing and drawing lines. And it's like, all right, eventually my perfectionist mind is like, all right, this looks all right. And then I look back at it and I'm like, how the fuck did I draw that? And as far as animation goes, the same thing applies, where I never once like learned animation. I didn't like study it. I didn't look at how it works, really. My only animation practice going in was to literally like jerking off to DeArt animations and seeing how it, like, the stuff jiggles and like moves. And I kind of like embedded that in my brain, and I have a kind of good grasp of how it works now. And I feel like one of my strengths is just like doing a little rough animations, which is fun to do sometimes. So like the first animation I posted was that one Poppy one, where it's like she's given a butt job. And I mean, it looks, I mean, there's parts I would change about it, but like the animation is pretty fluid. And I'd pretty much just completely winged that. Like, I honestly didn't really use too much references. I drew the penis backwards, which I look back at it now and I'm like, fuck. But I mean, I, at the same time, I didn't really know how to draw penises very well. Like, I was still kind of winging it. And like, I drew like the, you know, the little part on the underside, like the vein goes along the bottom. I drew that on like the front, and I'm like, I look back and I cringe at it. But I mean, it's literally my first animation I ever made. And like, it's got like ass jiggle. It's got like gravity. Like, you can feel the weight in it. And as my first animation, it's pretty impressive, yeah, considering I've literally never done any animation prior to that, as far as I know.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's amazing. Because, I mean, when your Minecraft animation with Alex is like super nice, super fluid. So, you know, yeah, it's like, if you didn't tell me that, like, you didn't have like a whole ton of experience, or that you kind of winged it, I would have been like, wow, I could have sworn you had like years and years of
The Lana animation, which is pretty much the animation that blew me up, like, that post is like 2.2k in Barog, which is a lot for that site. That's like my third animation I ever made. And like, I got fourth, because I did the Poppy one, I did a Komeko from Konosuba, that one I never finished, but it was like a rim job animation. I should probably go back and finish that sometime. My art style's changed so much since then, I don't know if I would do that. But I did that, and then I did Oversleeper's OC, Sleepy. I was like, I kind of wanted to draw her, and I kind of slid in their DMs, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna draw some fan art. And they're like, all right. And I come back a week later with a fucking animation, which is like, I mean, if someone came into my DMs and drew an animation just for free, that
is definitely exciting.
Yeah,
to get that,
I mean,
offer.
It's a really good OC. Mm-hmm. Shout out Oversleeper. But yeah, and then I started working on the Lana animation, which was absolute hell on earth, because I have never done a project that big before, and I didn't know how to structure a project that big, and I've never worked with that many animation frames, because I work in A-Sprite, which is like pixel art, and I mean, it's decent, but like, it's not really meant for full like minute long like animations with like different like phases. Yeah. And the one thing I really learned, frame rates, because it was so fucked up. Like, I had like all the, what I would do when I sped up something is I would change the frame rate in A-Sprite, but I was working in like milliseconds. So I'd be like, all right, here, this is running at like 60 milliseconds, and that's how fast it's looping. And then if I wanted something to move slightly faster, I'd go like, okay, this next frame is 70, and this next frame's 80, this next frame's 90. And then it's like, okay, it's a smooth, it's going to get a bit faster. And then I learned that frame rates are a thing. Rendering stuff at 60 frames per second is a thing, and you can't do that. So when I started trying to render it, it's like I had so many ghost frames, and it was so like fucked up. And I swear, I spent like a week just trying to like render this out. I almost gave up at the end. I was getting so frustrated. And like, I had been working on this thing for like 2 to 3 months at this time, and it's like I was just so done. And like, I eventually ended up exporting it. Each individual frame in that animation, that minute-long animation, is exported as an image sequence into like a video editor. And I had to like kind of learn because it was a new video editor. It's what is it? I tried using Sony Vegas. I have like some old fucking pirated Vegas. It's dog shit. It's KDN Live or something. That's what it's called. And I had to learn this editing software. I had to export each individual frame. I had to, because the thing is, I had to add sound to it. And you can't add sound in A-Sprite. It's for pixel art animations. You can't export it with sound. So if I was just exporting it silently, I had to, like, it would be fine. Like, I could export it from A-Sprite. But I would do that, and I would go to add sound in it in the video editor. And then I would re-render it from the video editor, and then the frames would be fucked up because 0.15 frame per second difference is not a thing. Like, you can't just render something like that, as far as I know. I mean, you probably can somehow. So I had to like basically redo this whole thing from scratch as far as like organizing, layering the frames. And it's just like, if I ever do a project like that again, I mean, wink, wink, I am working on a sequel to that right now, which is going to be like immensely more elaborate, and it's going to be probably my biggest thing yet. And like, I initially started it as a drawing, and then I'm like, all right, this is going to be too good to just stay as a drawing. So I pitched it as a collab with an artist, and then it didn't really go through. So then I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do a full animation, and now I'm storyboarding it, which is like fucking storyboarding a porn animation. And yeah, maybe even voice acting. I mean, maybe, because I was actually watching that episode with Sunshine the other day. I mean, maybe she would do it. But yeah, it's going to be a bit of a elaborate project with more characters than just Lana, which is what I'll say at the moment. I mean, by the time this goes live, maybe it'll already be teased out at this point. But yeah, it's just like working on a project that big is just crazy. Like, for the first time, like, because at that point I'd only been animating for a couple months, and I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna make a minute long animation, because I don't know, I feel like if I'm gonna make stuff, I'm gonna go all out on it. And with animation, I'm already gonna be working on it for like a couple weeks, so I mean, I might as well work on it for a couple months and make it fucking crazy. And then after that point, I just started making sketch animations, and then I realized like I could make a sketch animation like under a day, but if I actually want to render it out, it's going to take so long, because I am very specific about like line art and having it be really specific. So it's like I can make a bunch of little rough animations, but if I want to actually render it out, it's like goddamn, especially with like working on a canvas as small as mine, it's like one little pixel's off, and it's like I ain't having that. And at some point I changed my art style to be more like thick outlines, because when I started out I had like one pixel outlines, which was a lot easier to work with, especially for animation. But I found it looks better, you know, when you have thicker outlines, because my main inspiration as far as art style goes is the artist Valmar. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but if you look up their arts, like, you can immediately see the correlation. That's where I've drawn most of my inspiration from, like Valmar. And yeah, like that's where I got most of my inspiration from. And I kind of changed my art style to have more like thick pixel outlines once I kind of learned how line weight works. But it's like animating with like weighted lines like that, then you got to worry about like, okay, this frame, the line is thicker than that frame. And so when I play it really fast, it looks like her arm is tweaking the fuck out. And that was when I worked on the Alex animation. It's like that was the first time animating with like thicker outlines, and I feel like I kind of did a decent job at it. That animation I did in 2 days, which is a far cry from the 3 months on the Lana. And it's just kind of like, I did it during comms, which is really stupid, but it's just kind of like, sometimes when you work on a project, you just kind of want to work on something else. That's what I'm doing now, where it's like I take a week break from commissions just because I don't want to work on the same picture for so long, and start working on something else, and I get productive, and then I go to sleep, wake up the next morning, and suddenly I want to work on something else, and then I end up with a trillion different unfinished sketches, but one day they'll be finished. Like that Alex one was a sketch I made like a couple months back, and I'm like, I'm just going to animate this because it looks pretty good. And that's another one of those things, when you go back to the point of drawing stuff that people don't really see a lot, like Lolly Alex. Minecraft's the best-selling game of all time. How many fucking lolicons play that game? How many of them have thought of Alex as a kid? I mean, tens of thousands, probably, I'd say. And how much art is there of Wally Alex? There's very, very
none.
Few.
Yeah.
How many animations is there of Wally Alex? Not any, as far as I know. Maybe there is some.
I'm pretty sure there's like none.
And then, I mean, there's some people also like with Minecraft stuff where it's like it includes the dialogue. Like you'll see pictures. Like, I think there's probably a couple like straight show to art of like that Jenny character. And it's like there's like the Minecraft text box, and it's like she's talking about like fucking kill little boys or whatever. And it's like people like that stuff where it's like you have the Minecraft text. And so I think, and then I draw it, I make an animation, and it blows up because I can kind of tell like this is what people want. I mean, people want Alex, and maybe sometime in the future I'll make a sequel where she's fucking a wolf, and then you can make it a little thing. Yeah, I kind of rambled on a little bit there, but yeah.
Well, it's all good insight, because you learn from the animation and stuff. I'm assuming you probably learned a lot from the animation stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, so you're working on a big animation, it seems like, and I'm sure people are gonna want to see it. So how are they gonna find your stuff? Like, what are your usernames on the different sites?
Well, it's just Calamity33 on Barog, and then Pixiv. I want to say it's the same thing. Honestly, I don't really know. Pixiv usernames work here, but I mean, you can find it if you find my Barog, and then Twitter as well. It's Calamity33 _, because I got nuked on Twitter before. And fanboxes should just be Calamity33 as well.
And right now your comms are closed, but in the future you might reopen them again, right?
I've been debating that, because I take too many comms. I can't stop myself from taking too many. I mean, I'll open in the future eventually. I'm currently trying to save up to go to Japan solely off of art money, which is, I mean, the PayPal thing is a bit of a setback, but I mean, with the fan box and commission money, I should be able to, which is pretty ludicrous to think about. But yeah, my commissions probably won't be open for a good while. Honestly, probably with the stuff I have planned, honestly, probably not even till next year, to be completely honest.
Well, everyone go follow him. He does really great art. Lollies with big ass captions and lots of fun stuff. So be sure to check out his art if that sounds interesting to you.
Hell yeah.
And so that was a great episode with you, Calamity. We talked a lot of different stuff and crazy shit.
pretty much. Talked about Minecraft, talked about Balloon Star Defense, pretty much anything anybody ever needs.
All right, here's one last question. Regarding balloons, which monkey would you want to fuck the most?
That is a very good question. See, there's a lot of monkeys. There's a lot of monkeys, even beyond just the heroes. There's Admiral Brickle, which is a goated pick. Honestly, Azili is kind of low-key underrated. There's kind of the goat, especially the cat, smudge cat one. I kind of had an idea to do an animation, a balloons animation, where it's kind of like the Alex one, where, you know, it's like the Minecraft hit sound effect.
Yeah.
It's like that, except it's the balloon pop sound effect, and she's just like, clapping her cheeks, and it's just the balloons popping.
That's stuff like very that. Nice.
Yeah, honestly, I'd probably say either Azili, Brickle, or the goddamn mermonkey, fucking erotic mermonkey. Yeah, that's
oh,
nice.
Oh, certainly, dude.
Oh yeah. They definitely designed that mermonkey like to, actually I'm surprised there's not more art of the goth variant a mermonkey, cuz I love that one.
Yeah, I mean I just commissioned Head Hayes, the artist Head Hayes, to do a mermonkey. It's the bottom path one. It's already posted. I reposted a little bit ago, but yeah.
Nice.
One more balloons commissions coming in the future. Hopefully balloons drawings too.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah, everyone go check out his stuff, and he's got more stuff planned, so you're gonna there's lots of good stuff coming. I don't know if your comms will be open by the time before you go to Japan, but if they are open, that's you can help him go to Japan, so please help go to Japan.
Fund my chronic Dorme addiction by supporting me on Fanbox.
Exactly.
Get more Momo Asuka figures on my shelf.
Exactly. Support his Fanbox and his great art.
Yes.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you wanted to join us. I think it was a great time, and hopefully we'll see you again, because it seemed like there was a ton more we could talk about, but, you know, so maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe some other time I'd be down.